Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, this is podcast 242 in a very sunny, warm December morning before we play Everton at home. God, my hair. Nick's taking a picture. Sorry. Hello Nick, you okay?
Yeah, I'm alright, yeah. It's dry, isn't it? Sunny. Can't really ask for much more, can you, when you're selling a paper-based product?
So what are your thoughts on Amorim so far? Are you excited for today?
Yeah, I mean, look, I hate getting a new manager. I made that very, very clear. I don't want to sit there and experiment while he tries to figure out if Anthony's any good and if players like Malassia are good and stuff like that. I can't be arsed sitting through all that again. So this period for me is just utter woke nonsense. You know, half the players here aren't very good, and I know he's got to try and figure them out, and I get all that, but these first two games for me have just been, oh God, do we really have to watch him? Do we really have to watch him as well? And I just feel a bit, I'm fed up of it all, if I'm being honest. And I'm sure he's lovely and he smiles very, very nice.
Good morning, legends.
Hello.
Everybody looks like that when they first come in, you know, and then we'll see.
Oh, well, that's positive.
I have no positive thoughts on him so far. No positive thoughts.
Well, that's uplifting. Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
Are you okay?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm alright. What are your thoughts? Are you more positive than Nick being dour?
Well, I can see why he's dour, though.
Yeah,
but you're in a way, you know. How many managers have you burnt through since 2013? I'm positive though. I like the guy. He speaks a lot of sense. You know, it seems to be his way or the highway. Which we've said that before, though, haven't we? About the managers, we said that with Eric, didn't we? It seems to be his way or the highway, and all of a sudden, player power sort of came back into it. And but I'm hoping this time it's different, and I'm confident. This guy sounds like he knows what he's doing. He talks a good game. And I just think he's bought an uplift at the right time. But then, with the ticket prices, that's just brought it back down again, yeah. Which I'm sure you'll get onto a bit later 100%. On. But on the manager himself, I'm happy with him. I said it has to be, and I think I mentioned this to Barney before, I said it has to be the next generation manager. You can't keep going through the cycle of maybe an Ancelotti. He may have been all right for a couple of years, might have won you trophies, mate. And that's why I was keen on McKenna in the summer. Where you go all the way back to when I was on the podcast to someone, I said someone like McKenna, give him the time, give him the opportunity to build something, and hopefully you come above the curve. So with the next generation of football, so the next generation of star, the next generation out, the game's going to be played.
Yeah, rather than catch up.
Yeah, rather than catch up. So obviously Pep's now struggling, as you can see, scratching his face and getting all stressed out. So hopefully it's a good omen.
I know what Nick means about that, but you like. He has to look at these people and then, you know, these players, and then he will eventually turn around and go, yeah, they're not good enough. But he needs to do that, and it, especially, you know, with this ownership and the penny pinching for everything, it's like he can't turn around and go, I need this, that and that without proving that he does. Do you know what I mean? And the one thing I took away from the other night was that I was really impressed by, and my dad rang me as well, is his in-game management, where he was changing things up.
Yeah.
And my dad rang me and was like, he's got a plan B.
Yeah.
Like, as basic as that is.
He made five substitutions before the 65th minute
but
or something.
Even like his form, he started off with that back three, but then because that wasn't working, he made it like a back four. But then when we got comfortable again and we were leading, he went back to the three. It's like, Eric never did anything
did that,
like
exactly.
That.
Exactly, never
like,
changed
he,
things up.
He didn't have a plan A, let alone a plan B.
And a plan C.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that you've got to take that as a positive, that it looks like he knows what he wants to do, but he's pragmatic enough to know when to not do that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't feel like, I know it's very, very early days, but it doesn't feel like he's going to fall on his sword for his way or enough. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think he knows what, he talks well, and it's like his quotes about Rashford and about other players, where it's like you say, it's about
spot on, isn't it?
It's like he's calling players out, but not so far, not in a Jose way.
Yeah,
he does remind me of Jose in a little bit, but just not to the point where he's a twat. But yeah, you've got to be excited about it, I think. And I'm looking forward to today, and I think, you know, still anything could happen, because I think defensively we still looked pretty shaky the other night.
We did, to be fair.
And I think a better team, you know, it might not have gone the way it did, but, and we still conceded two, didn't we? So, but you know, we've got to be excited.
You've got to be excited, though, aren't you? Otherwise, you're going to be miserable in life. You're not going to get nowhere.
You're right, Graham. Have you any thoughts?
I the proof of the pudding will be in the eating. He talks a good game, but if you keep making changes, you have to keep winning.
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting today if he plays Rasmus Højlund. I don't think he was particularly energetic by the time he came off. Are we expecting him to name this out, and what's the plan going
even
forward?
Even though he scored two?
Yeah, I it wouldn't surprise me if he didn't start. I was listening to a podcast on the way in of somebody who said it was a plan to use Casemiro at centre-half. I nearly crashed the car. I thought Martinez and De Ligt came off because I still think we've got a load of centre-halves who aren't fit.
Mm.
And I expect them to start. I don't think you'll see Anthony or Malacia starting today. I think it will be different.
Yeah.
But we, you know, while he's winning, it's fine. I like the optimism. It's nice. But this club wants to qualify for the Champions League. And right now, if you ask me, I don't think this squad is good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But we are where we are. We have to back him. And I wish him well.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's one of them where if we don't qualify this season that they'll bin him, though. I think he will be given time, though. Because of, you know, and it's the club's own fault for not sacking Ten Hag earlier.
They're not going to bin him off if he doesn't get to the top.
But that's what I mean. We need to be realistic that probably isn't going to happen. He's
not going to bring anyone in January.
No.
And stuff like that.
That isn't going to happen. But I'm looking at them actually recruiting players that other teams actually, thought they could get in the past. I mean, Euro's an example. Can we get more of those where we're actually looking at players who can come in that other teams coveted as well?
Yeah.
And have we got the money right now?
That's the biggest question.
Right now, it doesn't look like we've got a pot to piss in.
Sell to buy, I think, in the summer.
Yeah.
Well, they've got to be creative with deals, and I don't think and there might be a few sacred cows twitching. Quite at the moment, I don't think anything's off. And when I say that, and people were moaning about Dalot's form, I can see if enough money came in for him, for example, I think they'd look at it.
He wasn't the one that I was jumping to in my mind that you were going to say was one that people would be upset about, to be fair.
Well, definitely. Do you know what? He was sort of on the fringes of the player of the year last year.
No, he's been all right. Yeah, I thought you were going to mean and like Bruno or someone.
In terms of solid professionals who get it and put a shift in that not necessarily are on form, you have to look at it and say he's not a problem really.
Mm-hmm.
He's not the biggest problem. Now, the big problems are the ones that are hard to shift.
Mm-hmm.
Those on big money who aren't doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you will get money for certain people. I won't mention the names. But is it going to be enough? That's the issue.
We'll see. But that's the thing. If he wants to sell Rashford, then sell him. Like, you know, if we can get some money for him, then he should be gone.
Well, I think a team will come for him, because I think there'll be teams out there who say, yeah, we can definitely get a tune out of him. Whether they're looking at the circumstances surrounding him and having to make that work, that's their problem and not ours. But you know, I don't think there's enough great players in this squad for people to worry about them leaving. I really don't.
Yeah. So quickly before we go, what are your thoughts on this the ticketing?
I think it's scandalous, mate. You know, he's charging 66 quid for a kid. I can get it if you're an adult, but I don't get the concessions.
I still don't think any game's worth that much.
I don't think any game's worth 60 quid, especially if you're stuck in South Ferguson Tier 3 right at the top, you're paying 66 quid. That's just ridiculous, that.
But then, you know, devil's advocate here. Me and Nick were in Milan last week and we paid more than that to go to watch AC Milan Juventus, you know what I mean? It's like, and that's, they know that, don't they? They know we were surrounded, like we were surrounded last week by, we were a day tripper obviously, that's what we were surrounded by, and they these clubs know that people would pay that, and it's, you know, but it's ridiculous.
But how much is too much though?
Yeah,
it's just going to keep spiraling.
66 quid cheaper than 83 quid.
I think if I'm right as well, which worries me as well, is I think the end of the season, that 30 quid for away is going as well. That's up for a re-debate again, whether that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
I reckon that's probably be pushed up to 40, 50 quid maybe.
But like I say, I think, you know, if you're doing that for adults, but the fact that it's the same for kids
it's
and OAPs
as well,
is
concessions, it's like a number of clubs that are scrapping concessions now as well. Yeah. Obviously, little man's a concession, especially being disabled as well. Are they the next sports to get hit? Yeah. I'm quite concerned about the season ticket renewals.
I think
the
season ticket's
going
to go up as well, 100%.
Going up this year as well, and we've got
to. He's
got
to play for his shiny new stadium somewhere. And we always knew. We always asked, where's that money coming from? And we knew we were going to get
it's
hit.
The main
with
reason
it.
Why I didn't want. It's still the main reason why I don't want a new stadium. Yeah. I don't want to fight.
I don't want a new stadium.
Well, it's going to go up either way.
Either way,
it's going to go up either way.
It's crazy that we're pining for a new stadium. It's like you look at the San Siro last week. It's a shithole.
But that's being done up.
I know it's being done up. But it's a shithole, and that's still working as a football fan. There's nothing wrong.
Yeah, but
it's not working.
But again, we were there. The amount of money that they lose out on because the facilities were terrible last week, they'll say the same here. They'll be able to build a new stadium, all the hospitality in the world that you want. They'll make so much more money, match revenue.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing
it
for.
That's what it is all about, maximising their match revenue. But how far do you go before you really destroy the loyalty?
Yeah. Well, especially like it was said, you know, I saw it said it's. Especially for the kids, that's the next generation. They're the people that you want to be, you know.
It's also, you're pushing out your local community as well. 100%. You're pushing out your local community. I think you or Nick said it before about the local community. Just, they don't seem to think about, but the big Premier League clubs do not seem to think about your local fans anymore.
And well, that's
which is true, I can understand. It's a global brand. Like the Premier League is a global brand. It's a world game. However, you can't not.
But part of that brand is the match that people are watching it all around the world. They're watching it, and you want the atmosphere to be as good as possible that image that it's a good. And you're not going to get that if all the locals, if it's full of day trippers, you're not going to get that because the atmosphere is going to be fundamentally different when it's people who aren't as connected. Do you know what I mean? Like again, using last week as an example, me and Nick and our mates are just sat there watching it. Silent. Whereas the locals who are there every week are the ones making the atmosphere.
The best example of last week is that you're right. You're absolutely right. But it was the other game because we're sad football bastards. We went to Torino v Monza the next day, and the Torino ultras are doing a protest at the moment. They have a disagreement with the owner. I think it was over a player sale. I might be wrong on that, but they don't like him. And they didn't go in for the first half. Yeah. And
the ground was silent.
You could hear a pin drop. And they went in the second half. I mean, some of us braved the ultras and some of us didn't on this podcast. I'm not naming any names. But, you know, some of us were enjoying our
tiramisu.
You know. But anyway, but the point is, though, is that they come in the second half and they made an absolute, massive noise.
It was night and day in terms of atmosphere.
And it's like, it depends what you want out of your footballing experience. But Torino, obviously, don't sell out every week. You know, unless Juventus come to town, they're not going to sell out. So that's the problem here, is that if you know you're going to sell out, the downside is, though, is that cup season tickets is what I think is going to happen, is that's what's going to be pushed more and more and more. That's going to become the new season ticket to make sure they're trying to get the regulars there, and we'll try and keep those costs down. But they'll charge whatever they want for the Premier League, knowing that it's going to be during at the weekend. And that's where I see it.
It's just sad because it will affect the atmosphere.
That's not also a diss on, obviously, day trippers and fans are aboard, because United's a global football club.
No.
And obviously we're proud of that global fan base, but you need to find the right balance. But at the minute, it seems to be tipped so far one way and not sort of balanced evenly.
Yeah. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, on the stadium, I think we need a new one. I'm not bothered about that, if I'm honest. A lot of the European nights and the things that make this club famous took place at Main Road and in Lisbon. You know, George Best lit up Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't it wasn't necessarily here all the time. And I think you need to move on, and you need better facilities. And I think they're right about that. How we pay for it is another matter. We'll see if we're penalised. For me, the dilution of the main season ticket fan base is on the owners who took over in 2005. Mm-hmm. I still don't think we've recovered from that. You do see occasions when the stadium does come absolutely alight, and it's like the gods have been woken up.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have that, but they have to be careful with this demographic. You know, you can't treat this club like a Chelsea,
mm-hmm.
where it's basically parked next to Harrods, mm-hmm. and people will pay whatever they're told. You really do have to be careful here with that, and I think the introduction of this ticketing price,
mm-hmm.
is scandalous, really, and the way it was implemented without.
Yeah.
Without,
well, a month or so ago, we said about feeling ashamed of the club, and Barney was saying how he couldn't feel ashamed of the club because of us as fans and stuff. And I said, well, we can, because the club, that's different for me. The fans are different to the club. The club itself, and this week is another example of feeling ashamed by it.
Yeah, I was told that the forum members were actually told by WhatsApp, so it's not even been discussed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Basically, Omar Barada came in on a template where it said we will be consulting with people, and that's already.
Not, I mean, happened,
he's, yeah. He came in July. That's already been thrown out of the window.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be addressed, and they need to consult people. It's as simple as that. Now, let's be honest. We've had a price freeze on season tickets for quite a while. We've seen a £3 hike per game in the last two years. And would it surprise anybody if it's a fiver next time?
Oh, I think it'd be more than that.
Well, indeed.
But as someone in our group said, you wouldn't also be surprised if they come back on that price a little bit, and then they've still got their wish of putting things up, but then they can also say, oh yeah, but we've liaised with the fans and, you know, come to an agreement. Like, it'll go up, but it just depends on how much, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, they can't say that right now.
Because they've not done it yet.
Well, because they're going to get a few shouts, I guess.
Well, that's another thing I was going to say is, I said it in the group the other day, the fans need to be calling. You know, we've had years and years of anti-Glazer chants and stuff. It needs to carry, like, especially after this week, there needs to be more of that. And it's not just, but then that's the thing, it's not just aimed at the Glazers this time. It should be aimed at all of them. That needs to happen, because people should be angry about this. Right, I need to go now because we need to start selling. But any final thoughts before we go?
Couldn't agree more with you on that. Will we see it? No, I'm dubious. I don't think we will. I would have thought if we were going to see anything from it, you would have seen something on Thursday night. Maybe with the protest today, you might maybe see something. If we don't see it today, I can't see it happening anytime soon. And by that point, it's too late.
Yeah. Right, Barney's going to do a little bit after this, and we'll speak to you later. All right, see you later. Bye.
Thank you for this, I appreciate it. Right, so kindly joined by two people from Portugal. Your names are?
Luís.
Leonor.
And Luís here is not the Luís who's written in the mag about Amorim, which I recommend, but he's his mate.
Yeah.
So, how do you feel about Amorim?
I really like him. I'm quite sad he left us at Sporting. But yeah, I wish him the best. I think he's a great coach, he's a great personality, and I think you guys are in great hands.
How did you feel when you heard the news?
I mean, a little depressed, I guess. A little devastated, but some fans got kind of upset at first, and it's normal, but I think it's understandable, his decision. It makes sense for him, I guess. It's a new challenge for him, a bigger one. So I think it makes sense for his career, but of course it sucks for him to leave in the middle of the season. But yeah.
What do you think his, so we've got to look at his strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah.
What would you think they are?
So I think in terms of strengths, I think he has like a really good man management. So he's really charismatic. He's really good. he has a really a great relationship with the players, with the fans. He's a really good communicator. Probably his greatest weakness, I think, is he's a little bit stubborn. Sometimes I remember a match last year against Porto where he started with the centre back on the left and no one understood why, and then he changed it up like in the 60th minute, and then we turned the game around and we drew away at Porto, and it was like one of the biggest games of the season. So he's a little bit stubborn, but yeah, I think that's it.
What do you strengths and weaknesses?
I also would add that one of his strengths is dealing with press. He's really nice. He doesn't at least until now, he never lost his temper. I know that like English media is a whole nother ballpark. It's much more complicated to deal with, but I think he's very good at managing like press.
Yeah. Is this 3-4-3? Is he relentless with that? That we've been in for? Is that it? You know, this is his way.
He doesn't change it, never. So even when you're losing like 2-0 and you want to go after the opponent, he doesn't switch it. So he usually puts fullbacks in center backs to make it more attacking. But yeah, 3-4-3 is always there.
So he had some setbacks when he first arrived.
Yes.
How do you think he turned that around?
Yeah, so I think in the beginning, so we lost like in the beginning when he arrived in January also, so in the middle of the season. And we didn't finish it really well. We finished in fourth, I think. So yeah, it wasn't. But we had a shit team. I don't know if I can say that.
No,
sorry.
No, you can swear on this.
So yeah, we had like a horrible team. We made some changes for the next season, and then he won the league. No one was expecting. It was the COVID year also. But then after that, like we spent like 2 years like challenging for the title. But like 2 years ago, it was really bad. But I don't know. He had the support of the fans. Like we finished in third place, and he had the support of the fans. Always.
He seems so charismatic already. Yeah. Like
we believe that. Like because the football was great. Like two seasons ago when we finished third, the football was great. It was better than the year when we were champions. But yeah, things weren't going our way. So but we believed in him. I think that's the main thing for you guys. You need to believe in the manager and
have patience.
Yeah, patience.
Let him do his
thing. We don't have much patience here.
I know.
The sporting fans have patience.
No.
I mean, kind of.
We were losing so much in the last 20 years, but we don't have patience.
There's
like
similarities here, then, you know, in terms of not winning for a while. Not winning the title.
I think we were worse than you guys are right now.
Right.
That's why I say like this is his new big challenge. He wants to turn it around again, and I mean, I'm hopeful that he will. I hope so.
Do you think he can manage? Because United is a beast. Well, I always say we eat managers, we swallow managers.
I know that. I follow United a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that Man United is my English team. She can back it up.
Yeah.
I usually watch like almost all the games, and I don't know. It surprises me when players that are not that good. Or are really good and then they arrive at United and it seems like they lose their ability to play, and coaches too, I don't know. It's a mystery.
Hopefully he's the one.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
And what's it feel like to come to Old Trafford?
I'm looking forward to it.
That's £4.
I'm looking forward to it, I don't know. I've never been to a stadium. I've been to Bernabeu once. I really liked it when I was a kid. Now this is like another big stadium. I don't know. I'm really looking forward. I think the environment is going to be incredible. First game, first Premier League game at home for Mourinho as well. So yeah, let's
and
see.
And we'll be at the Stratford End.
Yeah, we'll be at the Stratford End. So yeah,
we're excited.
Say something in Portuguese about Amorim that I won't understand, but I can get carried away about.
I don't know.
É o melhor treinador do mundo, Ruben Amorim.
I hope that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, and I'll enjoy this because it's special.
Thank you.
Thanks
Thank
for
you
doing
so
this.
Much.
Cheers, it'll be up next. So I'm joined before the game by Brian, who's over from New York, who very eloquently last issue sort of predicted the doom that was to come for Eric, unfortunately. So I don't know the answer to the question I'm going to ask you. How do you sum it all up?
I think it was inevitable, I think, at the end. You know, unfortunately, it was unfortunate. I mean, Eric was seemed like a decent guy and a good football guy, but I think it had reached the end. And it's funny, we came to the game on Thursday night and you could see the difference. We're still very vulnerable at the back.
Have you done your predictions then?
Little man's gone 2-0 and I've gone 2-1.
Okay.
We're still vulnerable at the back, but I mean the style of play was completely different, and you know, we still come here with more hope than expectation, but I can see what he's trying to do, and it's interesting. Like, you hear all the pundits going, they can't do five at the back. Frankly, I wouldn't mind being one of the wing backs.
Cheers, mate. That's
I'm looking at two of them, mate.
Oh, yeah, you're short. That's lovely.
Yeah, there's a tribute for Walsh in there.
Yes, there is. Yeah.
So Ray's got to be on one for Way. One for his.
Thank you. 4-2 digger. All right, take that. Cheers, mate. Thank you.
So, you know, I think it's going to take a while, unfortunately, but, you know, I think we're heading in the right direction. I mean, I think Eric did us a big favour in turning over the squad. I think we're still light in midfield and up front, but, you know, I think we're in a better position than we were.
Well, you're a glutton for punishment because you booked this quite a time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the answer, but why to come all the way from New York with your family?
It was probably a little bit down on United and I wanted to come see them. It's funny, it's when you're down on them, you want to see them more even. So, and it was Thanksgiving weekend in New York, so we could take the boys out for the week, and the Bodo Glimt game was a bonus as well. So
they've enjoyed the trip?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you?
Yeah, absolutely, totally. I mean, always come down here early, the atmosphere is fantastic, and you know, it's fantastic.
Well, we've got I'm going to go into it later because I've turned up late, the protest, which I hope is well prepared. There's riot police already, naturally enough.
Lord.
But I just, I just find it disgusting. But
yes, I agree.
And I'll have a proper rant afterwards. But the thing, I mean, I don't like Jamie Carragher, and I hate of the week is sometimes when Carragher commentates on Liverpool and never won our games. I just think it's counterproductive. But I will give Carragher his due for once, and the one time only, where he on Monday night, I don't know if you saw it, a clip where he dissected what we were trying to do at Ipswich, where you could see they were going man to man, and he was telling Casemiro, you know, go, and I think match of the day, go more forward, mark your man, you know, and don't let them turn. Now, we know it's going to be problematic because when we do get turned, I do think there are a couple of pastings in the near future ahead of us. I'm a bit even worried on Wednesday is if those people get turn, but you just don't, because it's 18 months ago. Here's a stat for you in my match of the day reruns. We played 17 games in that nice period from February, you know, around 17 games with Casemiro, Bruno and Eriksen, and we won 15 of them. But I don't think Casemiro and Eriksen can last, and I want Manu in there. But I like Amorim's charisma, his character. Let's hope. I like the way that he went to Ipswich. He told the players when to go to the fans and when to leave. It's almost like tiny little shot. I'm in charge here with Rashford and the little things. I'm going to start implementing them straight away. I'm the boss, but I will give you a hug as, you know, like, I'll be a cat. So, sorry.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And, you know, around the ticket pricing, that's disgusting. It doesn't affect me directly because I can afford it.
Thanks a lot. What's your prediction today, mate?
Cheers,
thank you.
You know, it doesn't affect me at the moment because I can afford it, but it's just wrong. And, you know, people are talking about, oh, they should sell a player instead of increasing the prices. They should stop paying dividends and stop paying interest and all that kind of stuff. That's what they should be doing.
Well, this is my overriding. If you want to cut costs, there's one family in Florida who you immediately cut their head off, and that's how we've gotten this. But to target kids who are the future of the club,
that's so wrong.
It's just morally, it's just repugnant. And your own club, you know, I hate the fact that it's our club doing this to us, the collective us, you know, like. And I'm glad, like, fanzines and fans, we stand up against it. We don't.
Well,
like,
fanzines are more important than ever. Like, they, you know, they are more important than ever because, you know, it is turning into you know, these guys will want to close down the Premier Division. They will want to turn it into franchises. And, you know, I'll be watching games in New York. And, you know, that's just not right. It's not, I mean, the one thing I would say about, you know, that people don't realize and I see from the outside is that there's a vibrancy to Manchester. And, you know, coming here is also enjoying the vibrancy of Manchester. And also, I think the people coming here bring a vibrancy to the weekend. So it's, you know, I think that's the big thing that would go missing. And, you know, that's important. And that's why we come here. We don't come here for, we come here to watch the football, but we come here for the atmosphere.
It's community, isn't it? It's everything. And like, I think, I've been, you know, we've been saying it for years, that, you know, you feel like you're at the end game. But the decisions like this speed it up to the point of, you know, I question what am I doing? You know, why carry on with it? Like, not the, you know, but just in general, just like to be treated like this. We'll have hassles getting into the ground, treated like the immediate reaction is you're a pest. And then they do this, you know, it sums up the United. So botchily done, just putting an email, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon. Nothing is, you know, and you'd hope that we were getting away from that sort of ridiculous. Who if they sat in a meeting that someone said, oh, you know what we should do? We should charge kids 66 quid. That no one around that room went, fuck off. You know, sorry to use your swear.
No, but you're right. I mean, the whatever about increasing the price, but putting it out the kids up is wrong. Like, it's just, it's wrong. And it, you know what? They're following the US model. You know, they're trying to, they are pushing out season ticket holders. They want, but you know what? Look at the NFL. When I went to the US 20 years ago, it was impossible to get an NFL ticket. Now they want to give you the tickets because they've turned the base off and people are just watching it at home. And so if you go to an NFL game in New York now, it's easy to get tickets. Before it wasn't.
And I think people were saying enough's enough. You know, I've got a mate who said, I can't afford 132 quid for me and my lad. It's just I can do other things and have a really nice time. And to put that at risk, that, you know, they've treated the branches abysmally for years, they can treat concessions, senior reds, it just makes my blood boil. So I hope it's a good protest and I hope they reverse it, as we've seen them do that, so it can happen. Anyway, what do you want to see today, Brian, in the game?
I want to see commitment, I want to see fight, and I want to see a little more solidity, but, you know, at the end of the day, a draw or a win is paramount here, to, you know, as we head to the Arsenal game. And, you know, we should be beating teams like Everton.
Well, Everton are poor, aren't they? Right, predictions. I'm going 3-1 United. But I have to say United these days is bad.
2-1 to United.
2-1. Predictions today? What's the score?
Let's go 3-2 United.
Oh, I like that.
I'm going to go 2-1.
2-1?
Yeah. 2-1.
2-1. So we've got collective wins. I like this. And you've had a good trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. You loved it?
It's been great. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Been
Thanks great. For catching up and keep the writing going and keep writing, everyone. Cheers. Let me go on a diatribe. Hello. Cheers, lads. That's Guinness's clinking after the game.
Hate the week.
Oh, go on.
The Pev have run out of Guinness. Yeah, we're not in the Pev.
I don't love the Pev as much as these love the Pev. But anyway.
Sometimes I regret selling it.
Thanks today, everyone bought the mug. I'll get onto that later. 4-0, comfortable win. We did comfortably win against Everton last year, so I don't want to be the party pooper going, caution reds. But a bit of caution, because after their initial, they started all right. Everton were piss poor, so like, how well? But what we did was we had impetus. You can see there's a difference there. We're quicker with the ball. There's a pace on it, we're going forward, we're moving it quicker. So I thought, and Ahmad was outstanding, so on a day like today, you can't ask for any more than that, a comfortable win again. But one note I made before this was, Amorim, for months and months and months, we've been saying we want them to gamble more, we want them to take risks. We're going to be doing that under Amorim, and it might, and I don't, look, Wednesday's huge test. I do think there's some pace things coming up, but for months and months and months, I tell Arg, come on, we've got to be quicker forward, we've got to be more once touch, we've got to take risks. We're going to be taking risks, so bring it on. So just happened, like Xerxes was still getting criticism, fair fucks. I know, like, what people going, what does he do, what does he offer? I said to Paul, if he can come off the bench as an option, what today was great, not just Ahmed for his frame to be so good at holding the ball and with the ball, I thought he was outstanding.
Can I just say, just before the start of the game, he kicked off the ball at the start of the game, and I was looking around the stadium and I looked at him, and for a split second my head registered that it was Fellaini, and I was back 10 years before. Genuinely, my brain just for a second was like, that's Fellaini. Nick put something in the group before that was very funny that I hope he repeats here, but fair play to him, mate.
If he can come off as a bench with the option, we're not going to be, you know, we know certainly fucking that I'll get onto the tickets later, but if we're at the state we're in, we're not going to make signings, so we've got to do with what we have, and if they're doing what we have do better than they have, then that's an instant bonus. Like, people were giddy, we've gone to +4 goal difference, we're ninth in the league. Steve started checking the league table and then going, well, if we beat Arsenal and City lose the next game, and then he's going, then he started talking about a title, Steve, for fuck's sake. But Luke Shaw coming on, Maguire did make a lunge, but options, the bench looks stronger. Mm-hmm. These are the things that Eric will be damned by going, if we'd have taken the chances at West Ham, it'd still be me, players returning. But the options look much better than they did. And if you can get the players who aren't performing or haven't been performing doing, it's just a, like, so let's see this is going to be a lot of rocky periods,
of course,
and I think, you know, Wednesday could be one of them.
Yeah, and you know, Everton aren't a great team, and I think that arguably until we scored the first one, which was a very lucky goal, they had the better of the chances. And it, like, I was watching it going, we were playing quite conservatively. It was like quite,
the first 20 minutes were dodgy.
Yeah, but then as soon as like we got that goal, you could tell the momentum was just building and building, and like we looked great, and by the end of it we were comfortable. And I think that was exactly the same as watching the game on Thursday. It felt like that. It was just,
yeah, it's happy. The players look happy, so that makes it, Rashford, you know, like
he put a lot of work in, didn't
he? Did more work today in movement than we've seen for a very long time. It should, that could be annoyance of why haven't you been doing it, but if you're happy, you're being told you're better than, you know, being castigated.
It's like, I mentioned it before the pod, not like specifically, but like Amorim sort of called him out.
Yeah.
In the week for it, didn't he? And so, you know,
he wants to want it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, as long as Amorim's not gonna do it in a Jose way, like I said about, you know, and starts calling Luke Shaw fat, but he's, you know, if you want constructive criticism,
Nick
don't
does
you?
That, yeah.
So yeah, like I think, and you know, Xerxes did start off a bit like what is he, but he took his chance as well today.
But
like, you know,
what he did do in the second half, he was finding an awful lot of space to get, I know he's not dynamic with it, but he was getting into a lot of space to try and move. We were moving the ball through him quite a bit in that second
half.
I'd
like to counterject on that, because I disagree. I think Everton weren't marking him because he doesn't dribble with the ball, so what's the point in marking him? You know he's going to get the ball, he'll take no more than two strides forward with it, and he'll either pass it backwards or pass it sideways,
and he'll score twice and be a link up man.
He was in the right place at the right time, especially for that
second. All season we've been saying we need players in the right space.
Today. I disagree, he played unbelievable.
Who?
Xerxes, he did play.
No, I don't know.
It's more the fact Everton are going, no, but your no, crowd, but we don't need to mark you. It's not, we'll mark somebody
you've
else, we'll put two men on it.
You've gone one. You've gone from one to 1,000. We didn't say that. But we've said, someone needs to take their chances. Someone needs to score goals. Someone scored goals today. He's not the answer, but if you can get 10 goals out of him this season, we're in a hell of a lot better shape than we would be. That's a no-brainer. And if he can come on with a bit of confidence, he looked happy. You know, look at him for the second goal. And it's suddenly like, you could say, not no world-beater, but just go, oh, that'll make him happy, that'll make the team happy, and if the team are winning, they're happy, and then that breeds confidence.
No, none of us are saying that he was man of the match.
No, but the way Barney's like, he's finding pockets of space, nobody wants to mark him.
Because if he can get two goals,
he could play football against me. I'm 35.
It's one of those things when we're asking
still
about.
Not going to take it around me. But on the tram,
he was getting quite a bit of abuse off people. I thought he scored two goals on a brace. What I'd like, we know his limitations. Right. Anyway, right.
And one of his strengths is not finding pockets of space this afternoon.
No, he did.
He was in the right place.
He was in the right place. And he did it. He tapped back in the second half. Easily have shot. He didn't go into a number nine
playing the ball.
He went back.
So angry.
I just thought he makes me angry. I'm sorry.
Why?
When we're just one good fucking get a grip. That's my older self telling you. Get a grip.
The relegation championship.
Fair enough. They're one of the only.
Were we good or were they bad?
Well, we'll find out, won't we? Exactly. But we wouldn't have won. We did win it last year. But these aren't the games we sort of win in. And we are. And we're scoring. We need to score. We need to score. We're scoring. Well, seven goals in two games.
Fun fact for you is that if you look at how long it took Eric to score eight goals this season, if you take Barnsley out of it, obviously not a top flight side, it took us nine games to score eight goals at the start of the season in the first nine matches. We've done that in three games.
Masarabi,
in a week.
Massive positive. I think Ahmad, since he came Ahmad for a long time, even, I mean, it makes, again, the baffling why I thought Kobe was brilliant.
Yeah,
I thought he was for his first game to get significant minutes, but for Ahmad to, it just makes it exasperating why he wasn't getting more minutes, especially last season.
But I think that this formation suits him because
he wasn't here. Let's be honest. I mean, he was better than what.
But that's why I'm saying that it feels like this.
But sometimes, but
maybe
you're right.
Because if you don't get a regular run of games, sometimes players need that. And Ahmad, with a regular run of games, is suddenly like different.
It was good today. You know me. I'm not a big fan of him. I don't think he's.
He was man of the match.
Who are you? Me? Yeah. Masraoui?
Right.
He's the best footballer that we've probably got in that squad.
I'd hate to see you if you'd have lost today. Jesus Christ.
I'm just saying, you've just mentioned two players but that just set me up for a big
ramp. Amarin's the song, I thought, I don't know, maybe I'm being a bit miserable, but the atmosphere was a bit poor for a while, and then it got going about the third. But I thought, I like his charisma, I like the way he's doing things to show I'm in charge, but also putting arms around things.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, I'm adamant, we've got pastings in this side, and that December January period is brutal. So let's see, let's not wobble when it happens and then, you know, like groans. Didn't do this before, but Garnaccio's decision making, I get that, but he's such a kid and he did do the right thing for the first goal, so I think we need to be patient with
what
him.
Which game?
From Thursday.
Not today.
People
all right,
go.
We'll make that point. Right.
People, you two, come on.
No, I'm just saying.
More
than what I was.
I'm just saying, right. You need to explain
people,
what you're talking
over,
about.
Over the course of the season, people are going, Garnaccio's decision making is this, is that. I just think he's a youngster. He did half a dozen things he didn't think right on Thursday, but the first minute is what we have, and I think just give him time, he's alright. And I thought Mount on Thursday made me think he's got a chance in this setup. I still maintain it. And Hoyland needed two goals, really good from the off, and Unana, who we all gave loads of stick and I said wouldn't be here by next August, fair fucks, because he's been very, very good this season. I still think there's a moment in him, but he is.
Well, when was the last?
Yeah,
just you know, fair play. Because I was obviously one of a big one for that, but yeah, fair
just
play.
Just back to Hoyland point that you mentioned there before, though. I mean, I don't think he came on today. Obviously, we left 5 minutes before, so I don't know if he came on in the last 5 minutes. But he didn't come on today, and that's such a difference between what it was last season, where he was being overworked and forced to play every minute, and now players are not having to play that now with this rotation.
But it feels like. Like, I know that everyone makes the same number of substitutions, but it feels like he's making substitutions. He's going to be rotating through all the players.
Well, it's not midweek free now, is it, till February?
But he's, so that's but what I mean, but that's good. Exactly,
how
that's what I was going to say. I made notes saying, we made a double substitution on 55 minutes, bringing on, was it Shaw and Maguire? And I was like, that's a bit of an odd one. But he's freeing a lot. And you've got to think about Arsenal, and it's good that we've got. It feels like we've got some depth finally, which is good.
And for him, he's going to win us everything. But it's like you go back, Eric, last year.
Fucking hell.
No, but in my match today moments, we went City last season. Rashford's goal was obviously brilliant, but we made 288 passes all game. Haaland missed that sitter. And as an aside, I don't even ever want to like watching Match of the Day when City and Liverpool, so I always fast forward that. I don't even like, because Liverpool won Goal of the Month when City, but it's like, I don't even fast forward Goal of the Month. But so City cannot be that bad, surely. For all Eric, you know, like,
patience, patience, stick to the process. 288 passes in a football match we made. I mean, Jesus Christ. Maybe we're coming out of a shock. Is that, like,
is that
war.
A lot? Is that not a lot?
No, that's terrible.
I don't sit there
that's
and look at passing stats.
No, but when they put it up...
It was comfortable.
It should be about... No, it should be about 900, 1,000 a game.
So you should do 10 passes a minute?
Yeah, it's something ridiculous. We had 26% of the ball, and we had the lowest... amount of touches. The whole team touched the ball 200 times. Do you think sometimes in a minute you can go sideways? Anyway, right, getting on to the 66 quid stuff.
280 backwards passes so far this season.
So please support mine. Come along on Friday. Everyone who supported the Mag, Dunk, Finley, Nathan, Nick for selling today. Massively appreciated. I will go. There's not stuff you're going to disagree with. The stuff I disagree with, there's a letter. I'm not in the mood to get into it, but I didn't feel comfortable particularly putting it in, but I debated it going, well, I don't believe in censor. I do believe in free speech. But it's a bit traumatic for me because it's how my dad passed away, so I'm not really in the right frame of mind to answer. I will over time, but just understand the Mag puts in stuff that I don't agree with. Sometimes I don't want to put in, but we're a fanzine, so I've got to stick to that. And we're a fanzine who challenge this disgrace that sometimes I think United can't shock us or surprise us any further. And I just think it's absolutely... it's absolutely scandalous that the future of today and the old timers who put in all the years are being asked to pay 66 quid for punishing members and obviously a shape of things to come on. Can we fleece them? This is a test. How much can we get away with season tickets? How much could we get away with the ground? To do it mid-season, to do it any point of a season, to talk about heritage, to talk about fan engagement, and Fans Forum Fab should walk out of the next meeting. If they turn their back on you to not tell them, you turn the back on them. And it is the one of the lowest points in a series of lows since 04-05. And even then, I never trusted a suit. To think that they can try and get away with it and to have such little empathy, compassion. It's an arse-ache to get into K-Stan now. It takes fucking ages. They treat you like, what have you got in your pockets? The whole experience is like, you're a pest shit on the shoe. And this is the ultimate expression of, we're going to fucking treat you like a shit on the shoe. Because we're suddenly going to go, you want to take a kid, we're going to charge that kid 66 quid, and it is the most disgraceful decision I could ever think of this club ever making. The future of the club is kids, and I tell you what, it's going to fucking bite you, because kids don't have like when we did. When we grown up, we had teletext. Nowadays, you have 1,000 options to choose as a kid what you're going to do with your time, and United have just stuck two fucking fingers at that, going, we're not going to encourage them, we're not going to entice them, we're actually going to punish them. And anyone in that meeting thinking, saying aloud what they've just done, how did you get away with it? You should be shamed into naming yourselves. If you're a Manchester United employee who sat down in that meeting and agreed to it, you are shamed. I'm so fucking annoyed. I almost feel like I could sack the whole thing. My whole life is this club. I could walk away, because how dare you? How fucking dare you do this to the future who are going to come along after us? Because they're not going to come along afterwards, because you're going to fucking punish them with 66 quid. How dare you? How you're supposed to be custodians of our football club, and we're done. We know it. But I feel ashamed.
The thing is, this isn't the Glazers. This is the new.
This is Ineos.
Yeah.
And Glazers have the perfect Glazers position. Yeah. Behind their ivory
towers. Glazers out today.
Their ivory towers, getting the perfect. They'll not get the flak. And these lot. And basically, if we connect the dots, they, you know, and I wanted Ten Hag to stay, but I'm not being paid millions. They're saying, well, we've now paid 30 million for Ten Hag. We've paid 10 million. We've got to get that somewhere to financial fair pay. You know, we're not going to ask the Glazers. We're not going to do this. We're going to fucking punish the people who've sacrificed so much already and watched this all season. It's just fucking. It's the maddest thing, and I hope it spells not just a U-turn. I want, you know, there should be apologies for even shaming this great club. And I know it dates back the Edwards and all that, but it just breaks my heart to think, like, you could say to a kid that it's got, and the cost of living, how much touch how little people have. Everyone's scraping by, everyone, to say, oh, you're a dad who loved just the thought of coming to a game, £132. How dare you?
For every game as well.
But that's the
mental thing about it, is that they're just going to lose. Look, people just aren't going to come. So, you know, if you charge £20 for a ticket, you're going to get people in the door, and people are going to buy things. Like, especially like the midweek games. Like, so when we're next playing in an FA Cup game and it's a shit FA Cup draw, who's paying that money? No one's paying that money.
This is the thing. This is why I was saying earlier that it's going to go to cup season tickets, and that's what they're going to push, isn't it, to try and get into the midweek so you keep qualifying for the Champions League.
Yeah, but who's paying £60 for
it? It might be £60 per game, but maybe they might put this at discount. That's what they're going to end up pushing, aren't they? League games that during the weekend they probably can charge what they want, can't, because people will go over for it. So that's the sad thing for it. But yeah, Greg, you should be actively trying to get local kids through the door, right?
But it's the biggest no-brainer in. I mean, like, I'm not. I don't care more than other people about United, but I do feel so like that fanzine is custodians of what a community should be. To think the amount of people coming up today, obviously, you know, like, just how dare you? Like, I don't know. I
said before the game, like, I'm repeating myself for people, but you weren't there. But we said the other a month or so ago, didn't we, about being ashamed of the club?
Yeah, and this is the moment. Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is,
yeah.
But no, right? Because you said, I should never, not United. No, that's what you said. Now you come round to my level of thinking. Yeah.
But that's this because I didn't think there was a moment that
it's
I could.
Yeah. It's said, this just adds to the ever growing list. And, you know, me and Paul were talking about it on Thursday night. And obviously, you didn't bother coming, did you? But we were discussing it. I was just saying, look, you know, they're just a very difficult club to support off the pitch. And
they hate us. They hate us. They're shit on their shoulders. That's the saddest.
Got to the stage now. My missus has never watched United with me because you used to get really stressed watching it. We'll score a goal now and I'll be like, yeah. That's about
no,
the extent.
But I still
get like
it. No,
like,
because I still have the pitch and the off pitch.
That's part of that as well.
But don't. Just. We've just ranted about the 66, so you better.
And Xerxes, I've covered Xerxes, don't worry. I've covered him. The way that Barney went on about the 66 ticket pound prices is the way that I went on about Xerxes. I feel that passionate about it as well.
For me, he's only going to gain £1.5 million, isn't he, by the end of the season? But he's going to lose far more than that, isn't he? And I think what the accountants don't see is the cost in cultural capital.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it might be, you know, prices like that might get rid of the likes of me and you. But ultimately, it's if people like us don't go, what are then the tourists who they're trying to get premium prices coming to see?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's nothing. There'll be nothing left. There'll be no atmosphere. Yeah. And eventually, after a while, the product will go.
Isn't there.
So it's almost they've looked at it and not understood the value of the thing they're trying to increase the price on or decrease or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't understand what the driver is of what's getting people to come from Japan or America. And it's the atmosphere and the English Premier, da 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 da. And yes, you'll get a few who's just ticking it to go. Mm-hmm. But if you look at a lot of websites on ground hopping and football tourism and all these things on Instagram, it's La Bombonera, the Yellow Wall, these things sell. That's why people
going
go.
For that,
it's the
yeah.
same. Any tourist industry,
mm-hmm.
you go to get the experience. You want to go to a show on Broadway, you want to go for an authentic pizza in Naples, you're going for that experience. So suddenly United will be hollow.
But I think that what their plan will be is there'll be masses of people from around the world going, Friday I'll go Everton home,
correct.
Saturday
you
I'll go
to
Manchester,
lot, yeah.
and Sunday, and you'll have a stream of people going for the that's Premier League experience. Mm-hmm.
But what is that experience?
Well, no, but I agree with you. But someone said, like, so from, say my seat's £41 a game.
Yeah, yeah.
If they can leave my seat empty for three games, if at the fourth game they sell it for £399. So it's almost like the empty seats is irrelevant for United. It's now purely terms on them. Financial incentive on that season.
It is.
What is that?
Well,
price?
Ultimately, I have no problem with that. I went to the Rome Derby, which obviously covered in Red News, and I paid £100, and I thought I'm only ever going to go once. I'm a tourist. and they put me down the side. The differences between the Premier League and PAOK, Belgrade, Roma, all these big derbies I've been to, is they know the primitive sort of clubs. They're not as advanced as United, and they realise that, and they put you in the middle down the side, and they charge you a premium. Mm-hmm. And then the guys who I went to, the fanzine writers at Roma, they paid €15 behind the goal on the curve, because they're the ones who create the spectacle for people like me.
We know that United need to make money, so we're not disputing that.
But
they've
got
to do it.
Yeah,
it's specific. They're targeting everything.
Yes, everything's flat. They're not smart enough to realise, well, why don't we keep it for you guys, create a bit of a spectacle, and then we'll really fleece the one.
But it's not a spectacle as well, it's respect. It's just a basic level of these people are coming here.
Because at Barnsley, they're asking us, can you sell 6 tickets for us? That's basically what the email was saying.
Yeah.
Because they realised they couldn't get rid of them. You don't need to be a member. But then the games that are in demand, or even semi-demand, like Everton today, you're not having those guys.
People. But even so, though, I made the point earlier because I saw one of my mum's friends on the Salford Bridge, and I was saying, well, I think he's got his ticket yesterday. He logged on and got it yesterday for £40. That's what it was. Just literally went on and got it. And these games aren't selling out. And the thing is, though, is that if you wanted a ticket for today, I know 3 people that could have got a ticket that could have fallen. We spoke about this on the bridge. Saying that someone wanted 2 tickets, and I was like, well, literally, I should get you 2, no problem. But they seem to think that because those tickets have been paid for, that it's a sellout, when it's actually not. Like, there are people that can still get rid of them. So there is value.
Yeah, I think the demand for tickets is heavily inflated in the United States. It's a lot softer than the statistics or the information or whatever says.
All right, thank you, Master.
And I think you can forget the facts, you can forget the figures and all the rest. I think it comes back to what you said. You don't sign 400,000 people or whatever it is on a membership and then partway through the season go, by the way,
we're going to treat you like this.
You don't go in Sainsbury's and halfway round,
they don't,
the ticket prices are going up.
Because they're not there that often. They don't realise how bad it is. You know, today, I mean, it took us what? 15 minutes in order to get in. It took me half an hour to get in on Thursday night. Half an hour. And the worst thing is that I'm coming from work. It's not
because
like I can get there.
And the bloke said, read the mag, that an anonymous steward has written in saying they're replacing him with agency. Kay Stan, the old lady who's been there decades, she's gone today, replaced by agency. They'll shunt them somewhere else, hoping after decades they'll go. And the bloke, I said today, why are these queues? You're frisking people too much, and it's ridiculous now. Every game it's taken. And he went, United aren't giving us enough staff, so they're doing everything on the cost.
And as
a very sad aside, is just when there was goodwill, you know, we're all for owner in, new era, you know, like, use that. If it would take a basic PR expert to go, there's a buzz around United again, we'll make money anyway through that buzz. Shirts will sell more. You're not being shit if you start winning some games. Let's utilise the buzz. And instead they went, no, Tuesday, whatever it was, will be the day we send an email. And it wasn't even an official announcement. But we'll say, like, there's a member, your members, read next mag about your story, a dunk story, that, I won't name them, but they're David Pegg's relatives
who
come to some games and really upset, obviously, because they'll be affected. You know, to be asked to pay £66, and they go to the grave, and they went to the David Pegg's grave. You know, yesterday, and we saw that some people had arrived. They had travelled all the way from Nottingham to bring their teenage daughter to David Pegg's grave. She was moved and laid roses. She said she was not a United fan, but loved all hearing about the Busby Babes and had devoured books on the Babes. She was a lovely girl and we were able to tell her stories and show photos about David. Then as we were leaving, a bloke came up to us and said his family also from the Highfields and that their 87-year-old neighbour used to play football with David Pegg in Hollow. He was able to tell us as well where a memorial plaque had gone that used to be in Highfields Pit Club. The club shut down. It was unveiled by Bobby, Irene and David's mum years ago. It is now in the hands of 2 big Reds from Highfields, so it's well looked after. Anyway, it was lovely. That's my United right there. And I thought, hey, that is the United right there. We'll carry it on. But I don't know what to say, United. Not that they'll fucking listen anyway, but if you got to, not just a U-turn, it's got to be an apology. And if this is the rank and file that you're treating like shit, then we've said for years it's the end game, and the end game's here. and it ain't going to be pretty. And I almost feel like
closer than it.
I'm just going back for the pints, but I've just thought it's just sad that we've won 4-0,
and this is
and the main thing that we're all just sad.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? We shouldn't be sad. We've watched the first league game of a new manager. It looks exciting. We're all excited, and we're just sad because of what the club are doing.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I'm gonna ask Duncan about it, but Nick said two things. Cover your ears, Finlay. I haven't been feeling very well. That's why I didn't come Thursday. I'm waiting for test results. I'm sure it'll be okay. But I had to check. I Google checked obscene amounts of farting to see if this, you know. And within, you never Google, is you never your good friend. Within literally about 10 seconds, I was on Reddit stories about where people had spectacularly sharted around the world. And there are some fucking dramatic stories there.
This is what I said.
No.
Oh, right.
But Nick said, I was interviewing the Portuguese couple who were lovely earlier. And Nick went, someone walked past and went, there's a YouTuber about me.
Yeah.
He said, that is my highlight of the day already.
This little girl, she come back and she just looks so buzzing. She must have been coming with her dad, and she's like, "Daddy, daddy, daddy!"
Happy
like she's staring at Barney, and she's like, "It's a YouTuber, it's a YouTuber." She's walking off, and I was like, "I can't wait for him to finish talking to them with his little muff, because that's going to be brilliant." That
absolutely happy cool. Birthday, don't you? Were 50? Do you feel 50?
No,
that's good.
Not at all. No, I've had a great week.
You had a spa.
I had a spa. Yeah, not my thing. I plan to go the tip. I was gonna rake the leaves.
Some go say that tip. Is the manly version of a spa, going to a tip.
Oh, I love it. In-laws
cleansing yourself with all the rubbish.
In the back garden. In-laws turned up to look after the kids. Mrs. Q whisked me away for a couple of days, and I saw a red squirrel on Friday.
Oh,
never seen one. 50. Well, and I saw one.
Do you know
I'm
what?
50, they I was 50 are, in one day, and I saw one.
They are introducing. AI.
This is going to be
this is
boring,
this is really boring. They are introducing AI to protect the red squirrel habitat to detect when a grey squirrel is in the area. So they so like
Terminator.
So like
Terminator.
Space
Terminator.
Space
Terminator.
Space ID.
So
can you imagine
the grey
like CCTV Place ID? I'm being serious. I watched it. I watched so much shit at gardening and nature programs. The young Barney. I've said this 100 times. Would go. Barney, give your fucking head a wobble. The stuff you watch now, I just love it.
Your
mate.
Algorithm.
Well, it's about, it's
yeah. Well, this is what we know about Barney.
Yeah, but it's not
he
like
farts
the
a
lad,
lot
the
he,
lad next to me. The lad next to me, who I love, his algorithm is on the other extent. So he showed a bloke who was pendulum swinging off his breast a suction cap trying to knock a bottle of Corona out. So that's his algorithm. So my God, right, hello, so, what did you make of today?
It wasn't, I'm going to sound negative now, it was just a routine game, wasn't it?
Although
that's
really
what
we want.
Yeah,
you
that's
want
what
those.
We want.
Do you not enjoy pockets of space?
It reminds me of back in the 90s when, you know, people said, at times it got a bit boring, didn't it? Because it was just a routine thing. But we sat down in K-Stan right behind the goals, and what was really, the first thing I noticed was the shape of the 4-3-3 and the two sort of, you know, wing-backs. And every time we lost the ball, you could see it going back again, over and over, again, repeated, drilled. It was
good
every time. Yeah, it was really good. You just went, well, that's the system and that's the formation, and every time it just went back to that shape. It was really good. Thought Mad was excellent.
Yeah,
fantastic. But within really three good. Games we can see what they're trying to do. It took 3 years and we didn't know what
we
doing.
Didn't know what was going to happen.
And I can't wait for Manu to get more minutes in this side.
Well,
the substitutions
also made
great.
Sense.
Yeah.
Because obviously once we're 3-0 up, you start making them, you thought, well, that's obvious, because the key players like Casemiro as well, who I thought started very well.
I like De Ligt.
He was
I really like De Ligt.
Yeah,
De Ligt.
Really,
I think
he's not
resting.
Is that Dalot and Mazraoui have switched over. Mazraoui was at left back, wasn't
he? I found it very off-putting when Dalot and Shaw were on the same side. I was like, what's going on here? Because Shaw was playing that left centre back and Dalot was on that side. I was like, what's going on there? I don't know what's
Martinez
going on.
Martinez went to like right centre back at one point.
He's had a bit of a shaky.
I thought he was good today, actually. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I thought he was passing out the back. I thought he's not. I'm really encouraged by Thursday night, but he's still getting his match fitness back.
It's one of them because he was basically at fault for one of their goals the other night when he went a bit mad. But today he had a good run for, like, you know.
On Thursday, I'm going to mention it. Yeah. I'm not just going to randomly. Malacia coming back 500 days was on a hide into nothing. And fair play, you know, like, if we can get something out of him.
What's their left wing you called? Yeah. Was it Burnley?
Dwight McNeil.
Yeah, what do you think?
We're going off tangent.
NFL, Nick will waffle on about NFL. There was a great fight that involved the police using pepper spray in a college football game last night. That's the best NFL highlights I've ever seen in my life.
Like,
2 minutes of the team. Have you seen it?
They
did a Graham Souness. Put a thing in the middle of the pitch.
Like there's going to be loads of Americans 40 screaming.
Against 40, an American policeman firing pepper spray at everyone. I thought, this is great.
Yeah, that Michigan Ohio State, watch it on YouTube. It's quite lively.
Bruno's goal for Portugal the other week, sensational. That was absolute. That's
I was frustrated by Bruno today.
Were you?
I think two assists.
He did, but I think at the start, I put in my notes, it was like he was back to his like Hollywood ball era. Do you know what I mean? He was just trying to just spray it and it just wasn't working. I was getting a bit frustrated.
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to mention do you know who's really growing on me at the moment? Dalit. I don't feel like people are talking about him. Have you mentioned him before?
No one's talking about him.
Twice.
When did you talk about him?
Right to your fucking face.
You're really boring, though.
Literally staring
but
at
him. But he's like, did he? I didn't even hear that.
You are. Thank you.
That's
thank
clearly
you.
Because that's you're lovely, that boring. I genuinely think he's playing quite nice and quite well at the moment. I'm enjoying him. I thought he was a bit rocky when he first came, wasn't he? But I think he's really bedded in well. So I'd like to just give a
thanks special, for that.
I'd like to make sure that everybody is clear.
Do you know how insulting when everyone I say, "Did you hear the pod last week?" and everyone who's on the pod goes, "No, I didn't listen." Do you know how insulting when I edit that goes? It's like a doomed man.
The thing is
in
with
Barney
is that he'll say someone plays well, but because he pronounces every player's name completely wrong, I don't know who he's on about, and he'd be like, "Manu was." Good today, and I'm like, five minutes later, I'm like, yeah, Manu was really good today.
Shall we get back
so
at Nick?
In my defense,
someone contacted us, podcast listener, thank you, support the mag. Listening to Soccer AM podcast, the old or Soccer A to Z, Soccer AM's crew new thing. Tim Lovejoy, as Nick, play your cards right, called it play your caps right. They've even called it that at one point. So I thought, part flattered, and then part, Nick summed up that you're on the same ether level as Tim Lovejoy.
Who said that?
No, me, just then.
Oh, right.
Someone emailed him.
Somebody out there by the podcast.
Nick pointed this out. You pointed this out recently, that had happened.
Yeah, because Barney told me.
I'm glad no one in the world is ever listening to me. I put it in the group. Anyway, Tim Lovejoy, who is a hate of the week, when he smarms on that Sunday, because my missus and Albert are watching that Sunday show because of the cooking and all that, and when he's like, just,
I don't like Simon Rimmer because he once called me out on that programme.
Did he?
Yeah.
What?
Once called me out on that programme, so I don't like him.
Wow. Well,
and he's a Scouse bastard.
This better be good.
I don't like Simon Rimmer. I think he's a twat.
Did you say that grey squirrels were better than men?
I don't know. So, this was about 10 years ago. And
you don't hold a grudge, though.
In fact, it was more than 10 years ago. It was when the wife and I first started going out. So, 2011, it had been. 2011, when we first started going out. And we went up a walk up Waller Crag in Lake District. And we're coming back down and... I thought it'd be really, really funny to like do this like wispy modelling shot because he wanted to take this nice picture. So I like hung on to these tree branches and took this picture where I'm like posing with it.
This is going
to
be the photo.
And I thought I'll have to dig it out. I don't know where it is. So I thought it'd be really, really funny, and I thought I was trying to impress her because we just started going out. So anyway,
it obviously worked
because she thought it was hilarious. And there's me pretending to be a monkey off a tree branch. About 3 months later.
Sunday brunch had two supermodels on, and they basically were assessing modelling shots and wanted them to send in modelling shots. So Eve had asked me to stay over the watch. She's like, stay over when she's still with her mum and dad. She's like, oh, stay over on Saturday night, stay over on Saturday night, and I'll do breakfast for you, me, my mum and dad. I was like, oh, really? Yeah, no worries. So come around, we had pancakes, bacon, what is. And I was sat there thinking, a bit weird, because she'd never really like been so keen for me to stay over before. She always used to stay at mine, so to stay at hers was a bit weird. But anyway, so we're watching it at Sunday brunch one morning, and these two supermodels are on. And she hadn't told me that she'd sent my photograph in, but they'd obviously sent her an email back saying, brilliant, we're going to use it. So I'm watching Sunday brunch completely unaware what's going on, and my photo comes up, middle coffee sip, and there's me just going, boof, dead inside. And they obviously offer it out to the panel, and Lovejoy and Rimmer are looking at, looking at them, trying to judge them. And Tim Lovejoy's like, had actually complimented the photo. And the two supermodels also...
On the same wavelength.
I know, clearly, which doesn't help your point. The two supermodels give me massive compliments because they both said...
I think we have to answer the video here. Fucking hell. And
you could literally say anything now. No, and no one's going to know. No, 10 years ago on Channel 4.
Because that's not true. Because my mum and dad, I'm pretty sure, have it recorded on their box.
Right.
Because it was on there. Because obviously we got them to watch it on Plus One so they could record it. So I don't know if this... I hope they still have it. Anyway. But the point is, though, is that they were all really nice about it. And then it came to Simon Rimmer, and he was like, said I was trying too hard on there. And I was just literally, I didn't even know that this was a thing. I was just taking a genuine photo to just be an idiot in front of the missus trying to impress her, thinking it was really, really funny. And then there's me on national telly getting humiliated by Simon Rimmer, the Scouse bastard. So, no, I don't like him.
Was that worth 5 minutes?
I didn't want to tell the story. I never said it was funny or good, but that's what happened.
It wasn't too far.
Harking back.
Because I didn't know where we got into that.
Harking back to the old days, in my day, do you remember at school when people would go chinny chin chin if they were lying?
Yeah, if they were
and
lying.
Then they'd give you knuckles with cards. You don't get innocence like that. That'll be what people's kids do now. They're priced out of United at 66 quid, so they'll start getting cards on their knuckles. And you'd be bled. You'd have blood on your knuckles.
I would like to say, I think
I did go to an inner city London comprehensive.
The only time it's acceptable to charge 66 quid at United for a ticket is if anyone wants to sing that Ruben Amorim song today. Na 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 na.
I didn't like that.
They deserve to be charged £66 to watch that game. So if you were privy to that, you deserve to have.
Can I also say it was the Christmas fair?
Terrible, that wasn't it? It was so bad.
Christmas fair yesterday. So Scott I took Albert a bit later. My missus was helping out at the school, and one of the other dads went, "Oh, Barney's a bit late." Well, I can understand it, his age. Fucking hell! What? Where did that come from?
Well, in fairness, to be fair, you and Duncan are the same age. Three years. 2 or 3 years. You're in the same bracket. And
sadly, yeah, welcome to my world.
Well done. So,
it's that new bracket.
What do you mean,
when you're doing an online thing.
54 in a couple of weeks. The other thing, me and Nathan, a few weeks back, somehow ended up on Sky. They had, and this is why, like, why do people fire stick? They had an esports live competition where gamers were playing, and they had assistants. So they had someone playing the game, and then people behind them and coaches. And then Nathan's thing was, he carried on watching it, that someone went, I've been training all month for this. And you think, you've been picking up a fucking controller. What the fuck? Sky was showing people playing a computer game.
So, esports.
So I would like to clarify that, though. That I really like, the only video game I play is FIFA. I do like FIFA. I play it most nights.
I do.
So I do like it. I've played it every year since. I've had everyone since 1997, since David Ginola's on the front cover, right? And the funny thing is, though, is that during COVID, there wasn't really that lot to do. I don't play it online and all the rest of it. I just like career mode and dicking around on it. But during COVID, I decided, I thought, I'm going to play online. Can't leave the house, can't do anything. I'll just play online, play an Ultimate Team. I like to play. So anyway, and you go on, and you can see people with the gamer tags, and it, like, when it comes on, it tells you who you're playing against. And the gamer tags, they're all like, no offence, they're all like Finley's age. They're all just young lads on there, and it's like, I can't believe I'm being beaten off some guy who's like 8 years old right now. Do you know what I mean? And I'm 30.
I'm not 8.
You know what I mean? but that's just even worse. But the thing is, though, is that they're just so programmed to play it in such a way.
But that's Wayne Rooney framing and offering two lads out. Have you seen those videos?
Cycling round. Does that not show that it's scary that United are charging £6 when
they don't care?
They've got everything they can want.
That's what because, yeah. That Barry just said that.
Yes, I know.
He just said that.
Cycling round back to that. Yes.
Also, what I liked about Amarin Knight, Hoyland gets two on Thursday and he says this is what he needs to be better at. And I thought he didn't do it when he doesn't score. Well, we'll find that out. But, you know, obviously we get giddy, get carried away. There's this instant swoon. Oh, he looks bald, beard is better. But just sort of little things, hopefully. And the sporting fans, that's the two on here. The lad in the mag, Please by the Mag, really, really singing his praises. But we know Ajax fans, but as I maintain, the Ajax fans in the mag said there were the difficulties that were born true, the media, his stubbornness. They're saying he's different, but the one thing they're all saying is when it goes wrong, he will stick to his guns. So he's not going to do it a gung-ho. You know, we ain't going to see the Alamo if we lose. He's going to stick to a system.
But isn't that modern football but then that doesn't fit with what he did the other night, though. We went behind the other night and he changed things up.
Yeah.
We did have a... Like, you've not heard what we said before, but I was saying, we were watching it on Thursday and my dad rang me and was like, we've actually got a plan B. He changed it up. He changed from a 3-4. And then when we were back... in the lead, he went back to what he wanted to do. He literally did change it. So I'd say that it's totally different because it does feel like he's changing.
Maybe we're mature him as well because
it does feel.
You know, like United's
a hell of a step up, isn't it?
So. It's phenomenal. Right, have we got any more on today, Finley? What did you reckon? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was a good game. I think. You could definitely tell there was like a kind of like a style, whereas Ten Hag's was a bit more just like random, like whacking the ball about. There was definitely some kind of like idea on what they were going to do today. You could see like Ahmad and Delo were like running up, helping with the attack. And then when we lost the ball, they'd come back and help the defence, which was very good. It meant that we could attack and defend at the same time. I think it was a decent game. We could have done more with the chances. We could have got the ball up. There were a lot of times where we just held it back when we could have whacked it up to maybe somebody on the wing. But overall, it was a good game.
And did you enjoy selling?
Yeah, we got 46.
Yeah, great. You did. Did we sell out? Brilliant. Yeah, we've sold out of today. Yeah. So we've got some left for next Saturday. And then we'll be you'll all be here at Bournemouth.
Yep.
So I'm away for that. And what do you think of the atmosphere?
It could have been better.
Where were you today?
Okay. Right in the middle of K. And
we're all bloody dinosaurs.
I don't want to be negative.
Go on, because that's how I've always been.
But
no, but I mean, like,
the move of the TRA into the middle. I don't think it's worked. And I love the TRA. I think it's the best thing that's happened in 25 years since Boyle did his tape. So I put that in the article, didn't I? I don't know. It just doesn't. It's the acoustics of the ground and the roof. You can see the hand. Yeah. You just can't hear anything.
But they talk about the acoustics of the ground where the away fans are now, don't they? And they say that's where the best acoustics are. There's no difference to where they are.
Particularly bad today. I mean, I can't remember hearing one song.
Because it's moved centrally.
Yeah.
You're losing that compared to the corner.
It used to be in that corner.
Move TRA to K Stanley because we are. I'd hate that, but we are very old in
Canada. The highlight of K today was a guy behind me. How old was he? Mid 60s? Late 60s?
Yeah, yelling at
half and half walked in, and this is fucking K Stanley. Fuck off.
Was that Danny?
We've still got it. We've still got it when we won it.
We don't see many half and halves in K.
Three of them walked in, and he literally got up. I turned around, and then he was tapping me on the back, going, "Fucking, you should only wear United stuff in K-Stan, and I'm a Partizan Belgrade."
Cover that up.
But anyway, yeah, I was like, oh, "Sorry, mate." But yeah, he called them out, and I was quite pleased about it, because it just, K was always the place to be.
Well, that's what it was.
Back in our day,
most of us have stayed there and got older.
Well, that's been the problem, hasn't it?
I don't know. There's so many things that do need to happen.
Well, I would like to call out the TRA today, because I think the Lions, because he said I'd like to call the TRA out today, because I think the Lions, because he sang "If Xerxes Scores" were on the pitch, and then he scored and none of them got the pitch. So
you get a bug in your about certain players.
Well, he's literally talked about Simon Rimmer saying one sentence 13 years ago, right, and he's still angry.
Loves and hates.
Well,
let it go.
Well, no, I won't let it go.
Not because he is a twat. Don't let it go.
No,
let it go.
I won't let it go. Like, if someone annoys me, I will never let it go. Never let it go. And my hate of the week, because I got reminded of him coming on today, waddling on today, is still Luke Shaw. He's always going to be forever my hate of the week. Fit for England and not United. That's my hate of the week.
We've won 4-0, and he's just... What?
I've had a lovely day. We've sold lots of magazines. My love of the week is we've had a lovely time. Exactly.
I didn't get here Thursday. I've missed everyone. He's still going on. Look,
fit for the...
Oh, my God.
I'm like Graham Souness with Pogba sometimes, I feel like that's what it's... Just, I'm sorry, but it's fit for England.
I'm a bit like that.
Come on, because
we used to live in Gibraltar, near Spain, just by Marbella. And I remember when he signed for United, I'm sure it was that small song, it wasn't a magnum of champagne, it was about a 6-foot bottle of champagne in Nikki Beach, and I was just like... No.
But I maintain we didn't manage him well.
That's not what you do, right?
Going back again, Euros, he should have been told, you're not going away again after the Euros. You are carrying on training with United. No break, because that's what he needs. If he gets 20 games, we know he's class. If he gets 5 and injured, yes, yeah, when he's on the floor. No, he's player of the season 4 years ago.
Yeah, he is.
No, he's great. He's great.
Well, no, the reason I'm asking this is he's been here 8 years, and he's had one good season. It's also the season under COVID.
No, I dispute that. I dispute that.
It was a COVID season.
I think he had a lot of shit under Mourinho. I know the injuries, but sometimes we have to. And I know Rashford infuriates us, but there's a reason. I know, like, to turn away round that, oh, he survived 5-6 managers, is sometimes why are they the ones that have stayed? And what they try and do is the reality of Luke Shaw the essence of Luke Shaw rather than the reality. We know the reality is a very injury prone player. When he does get the 10 or 15 games run, we see someone completely, but it takes 10 or, whereas some players take one or two games in. Manu today, I mean, I don't know what his minutes are, but, and I know that's a 19-year-old or 20-year-old straight back. Luke Shaw's damaged from so many injuries, but someone can come in and go, oh, I'm back on it. And I tell you, you know, there are some players who are just uniquely gifted. Shaw is not one of those. I would cut our losses with, you know, but we almost have with Matsurai. But I forgot to say the Delo thing is, Amarin said on Friday, the best right back I've got at this club is Delo, so that's probably why he's done it. Right, loves, hates, we better call it a day.
I've said, man, I've had a lovely day. And, you know, Nick for being just so angry.
He's still going on.
He didn't even hear that because he's so angry. No, carry on.
What did he say?
Nothing.
There should be a
transfer
of a box.
Love and hate of the week. Love, I guess, being 50. Been a really good week. A lot of mates turned up. Went to FC, about 60 of us. So I want to say thank you to them. I know it was last week, but it was when the fixtures fell. And then my wife took me away, so I've had a really good week. So.
And we're here clinking
glasses. And I just want to say thank you for everyone. So that's it. So that's been really good.
That's nice.
football. It's the money around football. It's not just the £66 problem. There was also the fact that I was reading an article around the fact that overseas TV money is growing. Now that's going to come at cost. More weird kickoff times, and ultimately, why can't you play a game here when we're putting the money in? So that's the hate.
The thing is with that, I know I'm going to get criticised very quickly for the NFL point, but if you look at all the season ticket holders for NFL teams over there, got really, really annoyed because they have 8 games at home a season, and now they're playing a game away, but they lose a home game, so they have 7 games at home in a season, and they're still being charged for 8 games. That's still what's happening at the moment.
Only 8?
Yeah.
Do you not think it's just a different mental?
It's like you'll have a game brought, but your season ticket prices are going to come down.
Perhaps a commercialist perspective, would you not think from a sporting perspective,
American clubs because they are franchised, and it does seem a different atmosphere. When I was speaking to the guys at the San Francisco Vegas Raiders, or whatever they call these games when they're playing the 49ers. There was just a different because of the franchise. Come from, was it Oakland
to LA?
They just sort of shrugged the shoulders and went, "Oh, it was a quick flight here," and that was the end of it.
Whenever I watch, it's not, and I don't mind it. It's like the last 5 minutes basketball, NFL, last 10 minutes. But whenever the whole commentators are built into the ethos of the franchise head, and then they show the owner, you know, like there. And the win is rewarded. Look at the owner there. And the whole mentality is totally a different ethos. And I've got loads of lovely American friends and American Reds. But it's like the whole thing is slanted towards a commercialised razzmatazz that we held the fort on against. But love and hate.
So hate, ticket prices going up, because obviously that will affect a lot of supporters, as well as the fact that mid-game games, not many tourists will want to come to mid-game games, because then when they go midweek games, because when they go out after the game, there won't be any places to go. So then the people that will normally go, so the season ticket holders, they won't be able to go, and there'll be no tickets being sold, which means no atmosphere, which means it's just not great.
Yeah.
And then love is that Everton and United supporters like came together, put their like differences aside and had a protest together instead of like arguing with each other and doing separate protests.
I think a 66, I know this would split people again, but a 66 minute walkout for starters. Fab Fans Forum walkout. Nick, love and hate?
It's a good idea. I've done my hate.
Love?
I agree. Obviously, ticket prices goes without saying. 1-4-0,
I mean,
can't really complain, can you?
Well, you have.
The scoreline! I said at the scoreline!
Jesus Christ, you've done nothing but. My love is. Then, like, for all my, I've had enough, I'm going to walk away, and then you have like this, and there's people together, and I just think, the community, that's always Trump. The hate, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but it's almost like an ingenious 6-6, you just need to add the other fucking 6. So, like, why 66? Why 66?
I thought that
I
as
well.
I
reckon it's because of the Devils. I thought that on the
train. That's on my side.
Well, that shows that it's come from an accountant who's been looking at margins and percentages and gaps to fill, and then said, ultimately, that's the price we need to fill a hole or grow a profit or hit a margin. Because it's not logical. From a marketing perspective of 50 quid or whatever, it's not logical. So it's clearly.
Well, you go 70, wouldn't you? Like, why 65? 66.
It's clearly come
anyway,
from a spreadsheet.
It's December, it's Christmas. I love United, but there's so much, I don't know, I can't say hate, but like turmoil about our club treats us. To the regiment, everyone, glory, glory, Man United, love you all. Anything else we done?
No.
Cheers, everyone, thank you. And
thank
we won.
You.
Keep going,
Amarin.
We're
doing Amarin. The walk on
Friday. We're doing the walk on Friday. Join us for a lap. Amarin, charisma, beard is best. Separate on field from off field. Off field, you've always been a disgrace.